Welcome to the Trade Securely Podcast.
It's that time of year where you can feel the pace of life and business cranking up as the final quarter of the year approaches and summer holidays disappear. If you've been listening to the news over the last few months, you've no doubt heard rumblings of a recession and other economic challenges. Welcome to the Trade Securely Podcast. I'm Janet Eastman, and I'm pleased to have Dan North, Chief Economist for Euler Hermes North America, as my guest. He's going to be in Montreal to share his thoughts on the economy on September 19th when he speaks with the Sports Industry Credit Association. He joins us now to provide insights on where the economy stands and what he sees for the near future. So welcome to the show, Dan. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me, Jan. I certainly appreciate it.
This is going to be great because I love to get a great perspective. So before we talk about Canada, let's set the stage with a brief overview of the U.S. economy.
Right. Well, I think it's so important because, the Canadian economy is dependent to a certain extent on what's happening in the U.S. And I think it's a good idea to have a brief overview. And the overview is things are actually pretty good for the most part, we think, for the rest of this year. I mean, we've got high consumer confidence. The consumer seems to have bounced back. The labor market still is strong. Services are solid. We still have a bit of fiscal stimulus in place, and we've got the Federal Reserve on a rate cutting path. Altogether, we see GDP growth for this whole year of 2.5%, which is a little weaker than last year's 2.9%. And looking at 2020, we're thinking more like 1.7%. Now, the Fed is cutting rates, but in a sense, it's almost too late because it takes about a year for monetary policy actions to go all the way through the economy. So we had an interest rate hike in September and in December of last year. So we still have effectively some monetary policy tightening in the pipeline. And that's why we have that all-important inverted yield curve. I look at the 10-year, three-month Treasury spread, and that's been inverted since May, and it's getting worse seemingly every day. And as you know, that is a very strong recessionary indicator. There's always, in addition, when you look at the consumer confidence survey, consumers are saying, well, I feel pretty good about things right now, but I'm feeling pretty worried about things 6 months from now. And when you see a large divergence like that, that's another strong sign of a recession. I mentioned we have some fiscal stimulus still, but we're not going to get a tax cut this year, and government spending isn't going to be contributing so much towards the end of the year. So we have fiscal stimulus tightening. The labor market, despite growing jobs, is certainly slowing down. Manufacturing basically is almost in a recession. Housing market's in trouble. So overall, we actually think there is a pretty significant risk of a recession in 2020. So some good stuff now, but looking at it in next year, definitely a not so bright picture.
Okay. So what's your current assessment of the Canadian economy and your outlook for it, given that what I still assume is our largest trading partner is looking towards a recession in the next year?
Right. So like the U.S., it's cautiously optimistic for most of 2019, but slow growth and trade concerns are really the main feature still of the economy. Now, in Q1, things got off to a pretty slow start, but things have been looking a little bit better recently. We've had three straight months of positive GDP, and Q2 is tracking for 2.5 to 3% annualized growth. Leading indicators such as the PMI and the business barometer and the business outlook are all bouncing off of recent lows. Housing, you could argue, is stabilizing. However, we are starting to see some cracks here, like in our labor market. In the Canada, labor market's been strong. It's now lost ground in the last 2 months. It has actually lost ground in three of the past 5 months, despite that record jump in April. And perhaps something more importantly, if you look at that unemployment rate, has bounced off that 5.4% record low, now up to 5.7%. That's a bad sign. When the unemployment rate starts to back up, that can be a pretty strong recessionary indicator, not quite yet. In the U.S., it's got to bounce up about 50 basis points. You expect to see something similar in Canada. And it's important to remember that unemployment lags, tells you what's happened already. So when we're starting to see a backup in the unemployment rate, that's a concern. And, you know, that gives us overall a forecast that's pretty tepid for this year of about 1.4%. And again, a risk of the recession there being dragged down by the U.S. because, you know, about 20% of Canadian GDP is exports to the U.S.
Mm-hmm. So then when we're looking forward, what are the key challenges for Canadian businesses? For people that are sitting here listening, what are the flags they should be watching for?
Right. Well, I'm sorry to say it, but the key challenges are surviving the Trump administration's trade wars. Really, the administration has started a global trade feud, now coming into a trade war, which is causing global trade to spiral downward. And that could be really harmful to an economy like Canada, which is comprised of almost 30% exports. So that is a huge challenge for Canada. Now, again, you know, we think that the a recession is quite possible in 2020 in the U.S. And again, that could be a big drag on the Canadian economy, particularly in the autos and machinery and also the oil exports. There's something else to think about, though, which is maybe even more important. We have a big risk, a big challenge with Canadian interest rates. The Bank of Canada has been holding its overnight rate fast at 1.25% when the rest of the world, the rest of the world's central banks, basically, including the Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, the People's Bank of China, you know, something like 70% of the world's GDP, the central banks are easing towards more accommodation and lower interest rates. Canada is holding on, and the question is, how long can the Bank of Canada keep holding on in basically what is a competitive interest rate devaluation? That is a bit of a risk. Right now, the bank has no fundamental reason to cut interest rates with unemployment so low and inflation at target. However, if the Bank of Canada keeps holding on to this rate and other rates globally are falling, that's going to support the Canadian dollar, which again, of course, is going to put a damper on exports. So I think that's a big risk if the bank keeps holding on to these, to holding the rate because of the fundamental conditions, as opposed to looking at really global competitive cuts in interest rates. And I think the most recent employment report is starting to sway people towards thinking that the bank is going to cut this year. And that is my thought, that the Bank of Canada will cut at least once this year, might not be for a couple of months, though. So that's a big risk sitting out there.
Okay, so if the Bank of Canada holds on to rates, what does this mean for Canadian companies that are, you know, buying and selling into other countries? It lessens their competitiveness, but can you just explain that for the average person who may not understand what the situation is?
Sure. So think about two different countries, A and B, and one has a higher interest rate than the other. Where would you want to invest? You'd want to invest in the country that has the higher interest rate. So you would bid up the price of the currency. So for instance, Canada has a relatively speaking higher interest rate or intent of holding rates higher. That bids up the price of the Canadian dollar. That makes the Canadian dollar stronger. Well, that also makes Canadian exports more expensive overseas. And again, we have Canada's driven something like 30% of its entire economy is driven by exports. And now if you've got higher prices, it's much harder to compete globally with that stronger currency. And so that's a true damper on the Canadian economy.
Mm-hmm. So I guess as a country who wants investment to come to the country, it's a good thing. But for people who are in business doing exports, and we've often had a much lower Canadian dollar, which was considered our competitive edge. If we lose that edge, it makes it really hard to do business outside of the country. So it's, I guess, a double-edged sword for somebody like Stephen Poloz making that decision, right?
Absolutely. And this is what's really hard about central bankers. It's, you know, they're easy to criticize, but they have to think about conditions a year from now, because let's say Governor Poloz decides to cut rates now. Well, that's, again, not fully felt through the economy for a year, let's say. So it's you know, they have to look out an entire year ahead, and that's a pretty tough guess. And the effects aren't don't kick in right away. So you may not see the effect you want of weakening the Canadian dollar. It's a tough call.
I wouldn't want to be that fortune teller, that's for sure. So what are the riskiest or most attractive countries for Canadian firms to sell into right now? And, you know, what other industries are probably a good idea? You said manufacturing is struggling, but give us a picture here.
Well, I will say one thing. You know, in much of the world, we're looking at an anti-globalization, anti-trade movement, and that's not the case in Canada, fortunately. You've got the CETA treaty, the Comprehensive and Economic Trade Agreement with Europe. That's opening Canadian exporters to 27 countries and 500 million people. That is, you know, that is a great target that's been recently opened up. And it's, again, is an outstanding type of feature in the global trade environment, where a country is actually embracing trade when the rest of the world seems to be shrinking back from trade. Now, also, of course, the much of the basis of Canadian trade is here in North America, the U.S. and Mexico, and that's why it's going to be so important for all three countries to pass the NAFTA 2.0. And that does face, I think, some significant hurdles in the U.S. and in Canada and Mexico politically. But that's where your foundation of trade is. And while we're always looking for new growth areas, it's easy to overlook what you've already got. But that's the basis of most trade. So your biggest growth rates, on the other hand, are in the emerging markets, India and China. That over the long term is where you can get the most growth. However, it would be, I think, imprudent to try and increase exposure to China at the moment. You know, being in this trade war and now with some really very disturbing political developments emerging in Hong Kong, that could be very risky. I mean, I think if this explodes in Hong Kong, the idea of there being China negotiating global trade agreements is going to be kind of set way on the back burner. You know, the Canada, basically, their strongest exports are autos, machinery, oil, and so forth. It's actually a pretty diverse mix of exports, but those would be the industries that I think are going to be most at risk as this global trade war looks like it's going to continue spiraling down. And, you know, agriculture is at risk as well, because, for instance, our spat with China has caused soybean prices to fall. Well, that's a global commodity, so Canadian agricultural prices are under pressure as well. So those are kind of the sectors that are at risk here.
Okay, so for the average business that's out there, they're probably concerned about who they're trading with and whether or not those people are going to be able to pay their invoices. Are you seeing, or do you expect to see, a rise in insolvencies for Canadian companies? And across the world, too.
Oh, absolutely. Across the world, and particular Canada, you know, insolvencies in Canada have been falling steadily for years, but they started to rise in 2018. We had in 2017 the strongest economy in the G7. 2018, things decelerated. And of course, when GDP starts to decelerate, you start to get an increase in insolvencies. We're thinking even slower growth in 2019, risk of a recession next year. We're seeing increases in insolvencies. We expect to see at least a 6% increase in insolvencies this year and something like that in 2020 as well. And 6% increase may not sound like a lot, but it's a big break from years and years of falling insolvencies. So this is surely a risk. You know, you've got weak economies globally, political turmoil, Brexit, weakness in Europe, really a very high probability of a recession in 2020 in the U.S. So surely insolvency risk is very much on the rise.
Okay, so just give us a recap of what Canadian businesses can be watching for in the coming months so they're fully aware of, you know, where their challenges lie.
Right. So I think really, unfortunately, it's the trade war that the U.S. Is engaged in with China. That is the single biggest threat, I think, to global growth and, of course, to Chinese exports. So that developments in that arena are crucial. And, you know, they seem to change very, very rapidly. That said, the situation now with Hong Kong what appears to be a Chinese strategy of just waiting out this trade war until the 2020 elections, when Trump might be gone and we might have China might have a more quote reasonable trading partner. That's the U.S.-China relationship is very much important to global growth and to Canada. Also, looking at the U.S. data, the Treasury yield curve, which I say is getting worse and worse, and that consumer confidence split, those are key indicators of a recession, our slowing labor market as well. Those are things that are going to weigh on the U.S. economy, and I think you'll see similar things in the Canadian economy. The Treasury yield curve in Canada has become inverted and yields are falling rapidly. So you've got a number of things to look out for, but really the trade situation is number one.
Okay. Dan, thank you very much for the update. This is super valuable for our listeners, and it's always fascinating to hear what is going on in the global economy from an expert's perspective. So thank you very much.
Janet, thanks very much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
My pleasure. Dan North is the chief economist for North America at Euler Hermes, and he's going to be in Montreal to share his thoughts on the economy September 19th when he speaks at the Sports Industry Credit Association conference. That is our show for this month. Please follow the Receivable Insurance Association of Canada on Twitter and LinkedIn, and you can find links to our social channels at tradesecurely.ca. Until next time, I'm Janet Eastman. Keep trading securely, and thanks for listening.